We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a clipping from the free ads in the South Wales Echo, read by Brian Perkins.
Colour TV, old style and full working order, unable to get picture, £10.
Mrs. Williams of Cardiff for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Linda Smith. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, who privately admitted that one company, rotten to its core, was now a spent force.
Those of you in the audience will have noticed that the person who sits in this chair furthest on the right gets the first question. And that is quite a responsibility, you know, and I'm honoured that this week that's fallen to me. However, the producer has instructed me not to say anything funny in the first answer, because she said it raises false expectations for the rest of the show. So I just want to tell you that. I'm just going to give a really factual answer to this question. Could I just have the question again, please? Rotten to its core.
We know. Oh, 2 points to us.
Grow up.
Asked once as well.
Is this a big story?
Oh. Yes, huge. No, Jeremy.
It's a radioactive core, isn't it?
Oh, Sellafield.
Sellafield.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Sellafield.
Yeah, no, that's...
I wasn't thinking of it as a company. I was thinking of it more as a national treasure.
Yeah, they're going to...
Got a tea rooms and everything.
To reassure us about the way that Sellafield is going, to reassure us this is, the government has announced that they are going to be taking over Aldermaston, the weapons research establishment. Why not just let them run the National Health Service as well? And they'll have just cornered the market. Mind you, at least Aldermaston admit that they're dangerous, that they're actually making things that kill people, don't they? But we're great for recycling in this country, because we're a nation who loves leftovers, I think, aren't we? Whereas other, you know, we want our nuclear waste to last a week and go for sandwiches, don't we? Whereas some countries just bin their toxic effluent. We make, you know, nice poisonous gifts for uncles and brothers and fathers and so forth. You can make depleted uranium and stuff for weapons and that. It's great, isn't it? And then they're going to bring in PFI to make it safe, which is appropriate, the private finance initiative, because, like radioactive half-life, we'll be paying for it for generations to come.
It was the government's announcement that they'd put the privatisation of British nuclear fuels on hold, despite city investors receiving what they called a glowing prospectus. Sellafield bosses can't work out how a saboteur was able to bypass the plant's state-of-the-art security system, or Colin, as he's known. So I'll give 2 points to Jeremy, but I'll also give 1 point to Andy, because he... Well, I don't know.
For being bewildered.
Just
is it true that Homer Simpson's been appointed chief executive? That was I got confused there.
They're trying to sell it, aren't they? Strangely enough, having difficulty selling off bits of it with the safety record and people sabotaging it and everything. I think I should give it a lick of paint and get some fresh coffee on the go when people come round to look at it. Always works.
Or if they rename it again, because they worried that Windscale sounded too bleak and foreboding, so then they went to Sellafield, which didn't really sound like anything. So if it... Paradise Gulch would be nice.
Rose Cottage.
Rose Cottage, yeah. Dumb reprocessing.
Linda, who took a hard line on soft drugs?
Ah, the government. There's been this report, hasn't there, by a bunch of raving drug-crazed Marxists called the Police Foundation. You can tell, you just look at their eyes, up to the eyeballs, honestly, who've made this report suggesting that certain drugs should be recategorised and... I think government were a bit suspicious, because when they got the report, they're all little strips torn off the cover. And they thought, these seem like an awful lot. But this is what it is. The government aren't having any of this liberal nonsense to bring us more into line with the rest of Europe. We're sticking to our old prison hulks for dope smokers.
It's about not giving kids mixed messages, apparently. But kids live with mixed messages all the time, don't they? Don't talk to strangers, and then we tell them that a stranger comes down their chimney on Christmas Eve. You know, it's just a fact of life.
We also have a long and distinguished history of drug addicts in this country. You know, Queen Victoria was a drug addict. Complete, yeah. Nods of us agree.
Did she thieve to support her habit?
Yes. Why do you think she was so keen on India?
Did she...
was sitting there at Windsor going, come on, empire builders, get me India, I've got a monkey on my back. I'm hurting bad.
The thing with kids is make it compulsory, make it part of the national curriculum. Then kids will be trying to get off drugs by forgetting their gear.
Jack Straw has refused to decriminalise possession of cannabis in spite of the recommendations of a Police Foundation report. On hearing the news, his son William Straw stared into space, then giggled uncontrollably. 2 point cylinder. Jeremy, who'll be Russian to tell us his plans for running the country?
This is former KGB love rat Vladimir Putin, the spy who's now running Russia, which will be a bit strange when they have sort of world summits that were being held in underground car parks and so on. I'm saying, Mr. Putin, do you have a contribution? He'll say, the geese are flying low tonight. But no, he's former KGB man, Vlad Putin, whose treatment of Chechnya makes Milosevic look like Susan Sarandon. And, he's romped home, which proves to William Hague that bald, nationalistic, martial arts-loving men with slightly obscure pasts can actually win elections.
I think Putin's big problem, you know, is that he very closely resembles an actor called Vladik Shebal.
Yes.
Who always played the KGB spymaster in episodes of The Saint. Or episodes of anything to do with spies.
And anything where there was a foreigner in.
Anything where there was a sinister foreigner, it was Vladik Shebal, and Putin is a dead ringer for that. And given that he was a spy as well in the days when, you know, the KGB had to work for their money and not just hang around tapas bars waiting for someone to get pissed and leave their laptop. I think he's got a credibility problem.
Putin was Boris Yeltsin's approved successor when the former president decided not to stand himself. But then standing hasn't been his strong point for years. Coincidentally, last week the first IKEA warehouse was opened to the people of Moscow, so it was the politician's turn to be baffled on how a cabinet could be assembled. 2 points to Jeremy Allen, who received nautical out of nautical for their radical new design.
Oh, it's a terribly sad story, this. This is when the bow breaks. As the bow fell off this enormous catamaran, which is against nature. It's a really rather spooky thing, and it's going to go around the world immensely fast. And it had its trials on the Serpentine and fell to bits. It's actually off the Scilly Isles. It's a very good place for it to be. And it's called Team Phillips, and I saw the Queen launch it last week. I think that's probably what's behind it. I mean, Phillips is not a name that the Queen loves too much. I think she threw the bottle of Verve Clicquot with more than normal force, and it's got a... got a crack in this thing, and cost £4.5 million, and they took it out to go around the world, and it sank. I mean, bits fell off it, and it filled with water, and they're going to glue it together, because it's made of fibre optics, whatever they are. But it can, it's made of fibres, and they can glue it all together, and they can go out and sink it again. The great maritime nation is part of Blair's view of the British, who build these wonderful boats. We don't build them at Harland and Wolff, because we're going to take that apart. We're going to build this one out of Airfix, and go around the world in it.
Could it go around the world, but not going too far from the shore? That would be technically possible, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be
a pedalo.
If it's made of fibre optics, surely it should be injected into people so that it can go and fight antibodies in their bloodstream, like in that film, The Fantastic Journey.
They had Racco Welsh on that. I mean, I would go around the world on a boat with Racco Welsh, even now. She's old enough to be my mother. Marginally more alive, but I'd still go around the world with her.
It's not a very romantic kind of a boat, is it? A catamaran. It's not like a, you know, tall ship or something, is it? It's sort of, it's like a big, like one of those things you used to have for swimming at school, isn't it? A little buoyancy aid thing. Right.
It's really for other boats who can't swim, isn't it?
Yeah. Just to hang on to.
It said in one of those wonderful statistics, it said it was the size of the centre court. And just imagine this thing sinking off the Sillies with Henman and Navratilova whacking balls at one another, or in Navratilova's case. But it's just a strange sort of idea. Why don't you say how big it is?
I suppose that's the idea. You think British, tennis, Central complete court, disaster.
Grass boat, rather good.
The crew welcomed Team Phillips' announcement that they still plan to take part in a 9-month round-the-world race starting on December the 12th this year, saying it was a great relief to know at least they'd be home for Christmas. So the scores at the end of round one are excitingly Andy and Linda with 3, but Alan and Jeremy in the lead with 6 points. And we start round two with an item spotted in the West Briton.
A 19-year-old's attempt to urinate through a letterbox was cut short when he heard the throaty roar of a chainsaw being started up inside the house. Magistrates in Truro heard this week. Christopher Badcock pleaded guilty to causing criminal damage.
Oh, thanks to the hundreds of listeners who spotted that. Linda, who was shaken and slurred as his future lay in the lap of the gods?
Yes, as Andy's already mentioned this. This is another one of the MI5 laptop lapses, isn't it? There's been about 3 now, isn't there, that's gone missing, whole sort of spate of them. And this sort of spy, really, I suppose you'd have to call him technically, went out on the Raz with his laptop, drinking, I don't know, laptop dancing, and made a bit of a night of it, and lost the laptop, really, which nothing too important on it, just the names of everyone in the world who's a spy, I think. And it's all a bit embarrassing, and they apparently advertised in the paper, they've been scanning the pages of Loot, looking for it turning up there. And they've made these little posters which they put on trees. You know, this is Lucky the laptop gone missing. We all miss him terribly. The children are distraught at the idea of their father's imminent unemployment.
The information in it was how to be a spy, though, wasn't it? It wasn't like the other one, it was full of Ulster information. The one that went missing after the bloke got pissed contained his instructions on how to be a spy. downloaded. Don't get pissed.
It's the problem of new technology, isn't it? Because if you think how much information you can store on a laptop. I mean, in the old days, he would have had to get drunk in the pub with 311 filing cabinets with him.
It's a horrible word, lap, though, isn't it? I mean, I never thought lap dancing sounds very erotic, because lap just makes you think, oh, you're getting to that age now where you don't bother to get up to the table to have your tea anymore. I just have it on me lap, dear. Oh, don't bother with a plate. Just tip it over me privates. I'll eat it with me fingers. Mind to any lap people listening, I apologise. I have to say, I've spent many happy hours trying to programme things into my laptop.
I'm not entirely sure. I'm just wondering, looking at you, of course the table is between us, which listeners can't see, I sort of wonder where the lap is, because it's not there when you stand up. I mean, what is a lap? Is it your thighs? Is it your genitalia? Is it your lower abdomen? I mean, what is a lap?
It's kind of a combo.
Is it? All those things?
It's a mixture of all those things.
And wonderful picture is coming into the head now.
If you take any one of those things away, it's no longer a lap.
No longer a lap.
Like the Benelux countries, isn't it?
The MI6 agent got drunk and then staggered from the tapas bar into a minicab. What a journey that must have been. 2 men in close proximity, each convinced they have a license to kill. I know nothing at all about any drunken British spies or missing laptops containing top-secret classified information, said the tapas bar owner, Mr. E.S. Blofeld. Linda, that was 2 points to you. Now, Jeremy, listen to this.
Hello, John Bushimo, ah! Hello, John Bushimo, ah! Hello, John Bushimo, ah!
Jeremy, which organisation hopes to catch car dealers in the net?
This is really, really boring. It's the Consumer Association. And what they've done is they've created a website where you can buy cars abroad. The trouble is you can't drive it because they're in another country. So you have a little virtual car and just go places. You can go anywhere you like. You can go to virtual Springfield, if you like, and meet Bart Simpson. But, yeah, the Consumers Association, in an effort to mess up all those horrible men in loud anoraks who stand around on windy forecourts trying to tell you that a wheelbarrow is, in fact, a Mondeo, Consumers Association has set up this thing where you can buy your car on the web and then they fax it to you and it's in your microwave in the morning. Incidentally, I'm looking into the audience and there's a few seats with reserved on them, the people too reserved to come. another seat that no one is sitting on, which has an improvised piece of paper and has the word broken written on it. I thought, that's terrible. That person, all right, they used to be reserved and now they're finally just thrown in the towel. Utterly crushed. Anyway, sorry, 10 points to me. Good.
Alan, whose princely meal was barren of beef?
This is the Prince of Wales. It's Prince Charles, who's given up lunch for Lent. He hosted a meal for lots of French people and forced beef down their throats, but didn't eat any himself because he's abstemious.
The Australians are really worried about it because someone threw a tomato at the Duke of Edinburgh and said, here, look, take that home to your son, he's not having lunch.
Bloody lucky to find the only Australian who can't throw straight. I wish it would happen to the test team.
One French chef attending the lunch said he hoped to show the prince a traditional Gallic method of preparing British beef as soon as he could find a lorry, some paraffin and a box of matches. So the scores at the end of round two are Andy and Linda 7, but Alan and Jeremy holding their lead with 10 points. And we start round three with a cutting from the St Anne's Express.
Lytham St Anne's only car accessories shop is closing down after 20 years. Motor World yesterday confirmed its St Anne's branch would close as part of a nationwide expansion plan.
Thanks to Mrs J. Hewitt. Andy, who in their infinite wisdom said don't open wide?
Oh, I've got to be careful with this. I don't want to upset my dentist because he's been doing a bit of work recently. They have worked out that it's costing a lot of money to take out people's wisdom teeth when it's unnecessary, when there's nothing wrong with the wisdom teeth. Now, I've had wisdom teeth out quite recently. I have to say, I'm really glad I did it. But there is a problem, which is that you end up with a mouth like a snooker table with big pockets in each corner. It's true, isn't it? And what happens is stuff collects. I found my passport down one of them the other day. And so there are problems, but, you know, I don't think the government should intervene in dentistry. I think that's a matter for people's personal beliefs. And, you know, I think dentists do a fine job. You see that? A bit of food. Just that's because you get the holes, you see. So that's the story. Is there
nothing there to see you through a lean winter?
That's true. I'll survive longer if I'm in a shipwreck than anyone else. Man. But, yes, they're telling dentists don't take out wisdom teeth quite so glibly, thank you.
There's a ruling by NICE, the National Institute for Clinical Excellence, that dentists should no longer be extracting healthy wisdom teeth. Linda, listen to this. Everyone's a winner, baby, that's the truth. It's the truth. Baby, come to you, we search a thrill. Everyone's a winner, baby, that's no lie. That's no lie. Under which British theatre director ran off with the Beauty Prize?
Oh, Sam Mendes. He won an Oscar.
Sam Mendes is 34 years old. First film. I can't talk anymore. I'm just so filled with bile.
But Andy, is he happy?
Yes.
Yes.
We're up for the Sony Award, aren't we?
We are.
Listeners, don't be thinking that only people who make it into well-paid jobs win awards. Oh, no. We're up for the Sony Awards, which mean we could possibly win a personal stereo.
You know, those Sony Walkmans, my boyfriend's Jewish granddad used to think that Sony Walkman was someone he used to work with in the garment trade.
We won't win unless we sleep with the right people.
Every year when it comes down to Oscar time, there's a pitiful thing. Oh, will Britain win any awards? Oh, do you think that Britain this year will win? And you think, well, no, because American films are fantastic with cars and guns and explosions and handsome people and inner torment and midlife crisis and prostitution and all our films about amiable people getting themselves into a frightful pickle.
Because the other big film story this week is this one, the female Full Monty story about the WI who posed naked for a calendar, and their story's been bought by
Disney.
By Disney, they had.
There's a bit of a calm down.
It will be.
I remember Bambi with nipples. It's extraordinary. That Disney really has hit the floor, hasn't it?
What would they call it? Scone with the Wind.
Hey!
I want to be there at the script meeting when they try and explain to the Disney executives that the climax to the film is a cake sale.
But there is a special effects on getting the jam to a rolling boil. It's quite tricky.
Oh, I had one of those rolling boils once. It was terrible. There's nothing worse. I'd never fancy those boil in a bag. You wouldn't want to eat one of them, would you? Apparently they're very moist.
Jeremy, you haven't said a single thing that's broadcastable tonight. People are going to think you've died.
Best Screenplay Award went to American Beauty Alan Ball, who is now the first man ever to win both an Oscar and an England 1996 World Cup Winners' Medal. Two-point cylinder. Alan, which children are given short shrift at school?
Short children?
Yes.
Tiny children do very badly. People like Tom Cruise and Paul Daniels and all those little people. Because they feel short and they can't see the blackboard and nasty things happen to them and their heads are rubbed for luck. and they don't get on in life. And no small people get anywhere.
But apparently in Australia they keep...
Stop looking at me through this answer.
They hold people back in Australia if they're too short, I read.
They
hold people back. Kids who are too short have to repeat the year. It's not just if you've not made the grade. If you know, they sort children by size rather than age.
You mean there are very, very short, very old people still in class three?
Yeah. Australia is a society based entirely upon height.
Jeremy, who felt a bit queer and pulled his finger out?
Apparently, you can tell if you're gay or not by your fingers. So every man in the land is frantically looking at the fingers of their right hand. Although the fingers of your right hand can, of course, become stretched. But you can tell it's to do with your finger. That's these absolute cobblers. You can tell with your finger length whether you're gay or not, and it's to do with the gap between your index and third finger. And the other way you can tell if you're gay is if you've got a lot of older brothers. Now, I think this research was conducted by somebody just going to see a lot of musicals. And I have to say that although Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is fairly camp, it's not nearly as merry as Oklahoma.
There must be some other clue to whether you're gay or not.
What's it to do with whether you've got... If you've got clean nails...
Like being gay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell by asking yourself whether you're gay or not. Yeah.
I think sleeping with men would be a safer guide. Statistically speaking, I think that would be more reliable than the length of people's fingers.
The thing is, during the act of love, if you've got a free hand, have a look at those fingers and see whether there's something is something you're doing, you know, just for career advancement or for love.
But I saw a picture of a man with six fingers on each hand this week. What's he?
He's a randy old goat, that's what he is.
Which high flyer found landing in another town a complete breeze?
Well, it can't be Richard Branson, because if you give him a jumbo jet, it will get caught in a tree. Alan knows.
I was going to whisper it in your ear.
Oh,
but
sorry.
After that finger stuff, I didn't want to get too close. It's a kid who flew his kite over the...
Alan's whispering
Clacton.
To me. What? Alan's trying to
it's
tell
a
us
kid
something.
It's a kid
Skippy is trapped down an old mine shaft. What? As a kid
no,
who
it,
what?
He wasn't that much of a kid. He was 17. And a gust took his kite. And this child was then taken over the estuary and dumped on the other side of Clacton. I don't know what's on the other side of Clacton, apart from him. That's where he was. What?
Brightlingsea.
Yes.
There was another one about a boy who fell down a cliff and knocked all his teeth out. And he fell from a very, very, very great height. Which is weird, that, because whenever anyone falls from, like, a cliff that's 450 feet high, they survive. If they fall off a horse, they're paralysed. And then if you fall over a paving slab, you just die instantly. This gravity stuff's isn't it?
A freak gust of wind blew kite-flying teenager Chris Grimes across an estuary before dumping him half a mile away. First recorded incident ever of a kite saying he was going out to fly a boy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, this was sent in by R and I Johnson of Malden. It's from Malden and Burnham Standard, from the Horse and Rider for Sale section. And the advert reads, full-size synthetic bride with rubber grip reins unused.
Linda.
Oh, I've got a cutting here from the Eastern Daily Press, sent in by Mrs. Barbara Graver of Norwich. The deaths of two calves on farmland at Southwold have been linked to sightings of a big cat. It seems to be black, said a man, and my wife and children have all seen it using binoculars.
Jeremy.
From Virginia Murphy of Durham, and it's from The Guardian. As opera fan Fred Harrop of Stockport, Greater Manchester, approached his 80th birthday, his friends clubbed together to buy him a special present. They ordered through the internet a copy of Backstage at the Opera with Cecilia Bartoli, and the parcel was dispatched direct from Amazon.com, complete with a message saying, "We hope you enjoy this book." Mr. Harrop opened the package and was taken aback by the title Literate Smut, Essay and Photographs by Genevieve Field. Astonished by the illustrations, 35 pictures of homosexual and heterosexual sex. Mr. Harrop said, "In the last few years, I have had a couple of heart attacks, so it's fortunate I'm broad-minded. The photos are of a very explicit nature." His friends were horrified, but when they complained to Amazon, they were told, "Well, if you think Mr. Harrop is disappointed, imagine how the guy who got the opera book famous."
Alan.
I have a sad little story from the San Francisco Chronicle, Simon. It says, Mr. Garcia told the San Mateo divorce court that he'd first become suspicious about his wife last August, when their parrot, Rocky, suddenly took to screaming, "Oh, Charlie, yes, Charlie, oh, Charlie." The audience is ahead of me. Mr. Garcia's name is Anthony.
Now let's look at the final scores. Andy and Linda, 15 very creditable points, but Andy and Jeremy, this week's winners, with 18. And before we leave you, here's an item from the church magazine of the parish of Freighting with Thorrington.
Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. Please use large double doors at the side entrance.
Right, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and Linda Smith. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.